We shall prevail. look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. Oh, just this time, I'm gonna praise His name. Oh, 'cause each day is just the same.
Millions of years. I was thinking that Brother Tucker told us each day was at 1,000 years. I got to thinking about time. Time is a matter of thought. You know, if I hold my breath, like going through a tunnel, the kids used to do this when we was on trips, if they could hold their breath all the way through the length of a tunnel, and the one that couldn't hold their breath, it was a chicken. Anyway, but time to that person holding their breath till they could get through to the end of it, even though it was like probably 3 minutes, that was to them 30 minutes when they got to the end and just couldn't breathe. They didn't want to give up. And I thought about that in relationship to the creation. You know, when you think about time in the evening and the morning, I was trying to ask the question. Brother Wanika was just dying for me to ask the question about the 1,000 year in the evening and the morning. What if the perception of the word being different? For instance, I told this little boy from the Dominican Republic. No, he is from the Bahamas. And I said, crack the window. It's hot in here. Crack the window. And this boy says, you want I should break the window? I said, no. Don't break my window, boy. Just roll it down. let some air flow in here because I'm hot. But to me, crack the window made sense. You know, roll the silly thing down. To him, it was take a stick and hit it, and there'd be a break in it. And I'm thinking, you know, it's a matter of perception. And I thought, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. I just want to be there when the time comes. When he calls to make up his jewel, I just want to be one. I want to be a part. But when he makes up his jewel, that he doesn't leave me out, that I work and labor on this road, that when he calls those that is, and he said, well done. I want to make sure I'm one of those. I'm praising and thanking for the words that we're receiving. I might not always understand what is being said. I might not perceive it or understand it, but Fred, whether it's a million years or a thousand years or 24 hours or just a snap of a finger. Don't matter to me, as long as I'm one of those. I praise and I glorify him for allowing me to be a part of this people. I thank the Lord for the testimonies, for the song, for the ministry, for the word, for the deep teachings that might be over my head, because one of these days, I'm going to see him as he is. And I'm going to see his word as it is. And I'm going to know the answers.
Being here today and thank him for all that he has been doing for me through this trial in my life. You know, you can't explain to a person what the Lord is doing for you through trials and temptations in your life. And I'm like Sister Tally, I just want to be there. And I remember praying to the Lord, Lord, I want a closer walk with you. I want a closer walk with you. And in the back of my mind, it was saying, something was telling me, you don't know what it takes for a closer walk with the Lord. The kind of walk that you want with the Lord takes something. But I didn't grasp that thought and that was going through my head. And one day I was out in the yard. I was watering my grass. And I was just talking to the Lord. And the Lord, and he spoke to my heart. He said, you don't know what I'm about to do for you. And I thought, what does that mean? I don't know what he's about to do for me. And I said, Lord, no, I don't know what you're about to do for me. And then that's when I got this news of a cancer in my life. But you know what? Through it all. Through it all. The Lord has been showing himself so real to me. I feel closer to the Lord than I've ever felt in my entire life. Oh, God, thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I wouldn't give a nickel to go through it all over again. But I wouldn't take nothing for the lessons that I've learned. The places that he has shown me, has brought me through and to. It's priceless. You know, it's really priceless. You can't explain to a person. You just can't explain it. What the Lord is doing for you. And you know he's doing it. You know when he's there, when you're all alone. And you're praying to him. And he's showing himself to you. He's revealing. praise him enough. I can't thank him enough. I said, Lord, I can't repay you for what you've done for me. But I can keep saying yes, Lord. I can keep saying yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, Lord, I'll do. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Until I'm faithful, all is still to be my hallelujah. Oh, God. By your help, grace, and mercy, Lord, I'll hold out until I'm faithful, till my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord. And I won't rest. I won't rest until my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord. Whatever it takes, by the help, grace, and mercy of God. I said, Lord, if you go with me, I'll go. I thought about when Moses said, Lord, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go over. I told Lord, if you don't go with me through this, I don't want to go through it. I don't want to go through it. But he has shown himself faithful. As faithful as the sun coming up in the morning. He's been so faithful to me. Oh, God, I thank him for it. I thank him for it. And that was his promise, that I'll go with you. And he's been so faithful to that. So faithful. I can depend on him. I can depend on him. Thank you, Lord. I praise your name. I worship you. I lift you up, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. I remember growing up, my grandma. I always go back to my grandma because I love that lady. Oh, God. And the things she would do for people, you know. The things she would do. Oh, God. And I watched her. And that's what made me say in my heart, when I grow up, I want to go to a church just like my grandma's. But the Lord, he saw something better for me. He's given me his best. And he's giving me his best. And I want to say, yes, Lord. Whatever is your will for me, to be your son, I can't do it myself, Lord. There's no way I can do it within myself. I lean and depend upon you, Lord. And I believe. And I believe you, Lord. I believe that you become a secret of your child. I believe, Lord, I believe. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. And I said, Lord, I got a granddaughter, Lord. I have a granddaughter. And she's very talented. She's talented. I get put her in. I have her in gymnastics right now. And her instructor told me, he said, she's a natural. He said, she has this naturally, this gymnastics down naturally. Down in her soul, she's got it. Well, you know, I didn't think anymore, but I just thought he just want my money, you know. So, and then he told this lady that I work with, she was the one that got me started. And he told her, he said, I've been telling her grandma that she is a natural. He said, but I don't think she believes me. I think that she thinks I just want her to keep coming for the money. Well, yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. But then, last week, she was out there doing her gymnastics stunt, and lo and behold, if she didn't do this thing that he had been trying to get her to, she's been going since December, and he had told me that nobody has ever, none of his students has ever caught on the way that she has caught on and grasped it and taken it on. Well, last week, I was just watching her, and I was just looking at it, and she did this three-stunt thing. Blew my mind. Blew his mind. He jumped up. He ran over to her. He hugged her. He grabbed her. He didn't think she could do that. I didn't either, and she didn't either. She said, she told me after it was over, she said, before I knew it, I was into it and I couldn't quit. I said, honey, that's what we wanted. That's what we wanted you to do. But you know what? That's just the natural thing. I'm happy for that. But I don't want to settle for that. There is a God. Wow! There's a God above. He knows my heart. He knows my desire for my grandbaby. He knows that I don't want to stop there. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt that he can move something in her mind. He can touch something in her mind. Oh, God. I'm not going to quit praying for her. I said, Lord, whatever you have to take her through, I know I'll be going through it with her. And I know he'll be there for her. Just as he's been with me. Oh, and I praise him. I praise him. I glorify his name. Because it's him, it's his strength that I'm going on. It's his strength. I know that. I know that. I look at those people at the hospital. They could barely get around. And I'm running hurdles. Literally running hurdles. And I thought, Lord, I can't do this except you do it for me. And I know that it's him. I know that he's giving me the victory. Oh, God, oh, God. And I'm accepting it. I'm accepting it. Thank you, Lord. And I glorify your name, Lord, because you're worthy, 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 oh, God. Woo! I can't praise him enough. I can't thank him enough. You know, I was looking in the mirror the other day. I said, I don't even know you. I didn't have my hair on. And I said, I don't even know you. I said, but I know a God. Hallelujah. Who can? Woo! And when I said that, one man said, well, you know you got a lot to be downtrodden about, don't you? You can be depressed. You can just be depressed. You can cry. You can mourn. Because, look, your son is gone. Here you are with cancer, and you can just be depressed. I said, yep, I sure can. But I choose to praise. I choose to praise. Hallelujah. Got happy in front of the mirror, in front of that bald-headed lady. Woo! I said, yes, Lord, I choose to praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Because he's worthy, worthy, worthy. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Woo! 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 Thank you, Lord. rejoice. You're a child of the King. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Lift your head up high. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. So rejoice. You're a child of the King. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Lift your head up high. Rejoice. You're a child of the King. Oh, rejoice. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice,
I'm thankful to be here tonight and throughout this whole day. In fact, I'm just thankful to be here, period. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to feel a covering that we're feeling. But to know, at least I would like to think that we would know, that God has some greater things in store for us. You know, we look around us and we see all the conditions, of life, situations that we can't control, and we would like to solve all life's problems. I'd like to see all of God's people delivered from all the sicknesses and ailments that we are faced with on a day-to-day basis. And yet I know that through these sicknesses and through these ailments that we have, that God is really teaching us some lessons. You know, Sister Watson was speaking, and I thought, Lord, I appreciate what she's saying to us. I really appreciate it. And I know that it hasn't come easy, because any time that anybody is faced with the C word, it's kind of a downer. It's kind of one of them situations where that you can become depressed real easy. But I've watched and I've prayed and asked God to help her, and so it's encouraging to me to see God has done that and is doing it and continuing to do it. And I thank Lord, we're a people that has a lot of hope. We looking for a church to be restored, and we're working toward that end. We're not here just taking up time. We're not here just to hear. You know, I thought earlier today, I was thinking, Lord, you know, I don't have to come to church. I don't have to play in the band. I don't have to get up and work. I don't have to be here, take a part, but I get to. I get to. My Lord, I'm thrilled that God has touched my heart and my eyes and allowed me to see. But you know, it's amazing to me. It really is. It's amazing to me that I can see so many things, and yet there's people all around me and they can't see any of this. And I can't tell them about it. You know, it's frustrating. Sister Watson, I don't know about you, but I'm frustrated. I'm thinking, Lord, all this stuff that I'm carrying here and would love to share with them, and they don't want it. They don't want it. You know, they're not even interested in it. But there's coming a time. Brother Smith said today, look, folks, God knows how to get our attention. We're going through a lot of things, and, you know, we may think, well, this is just for us. I don't believe that God's given us all these things just for us. I don't think that. I really don't. Because, and I do understand, now don't get me wrong when I say this, I do understand that Jesus came to this world and they didn't listen to him either. They didn't accept him, you know. And the apostles, they were here. But let me tell you something that I really do believe. I believe there's a lot more people in this city that are interested in what we've got than what we give them credit for. There's people here that are hungry, that are desirous of something. You know, when I go into services or go into other churches and I look around and I watch people. I'm a people watcher. And I see just a little drop of the Spirit of God come into their service, and some of those old saints that seem like they're dying of thirst, they reach for that drop. You know, as if it's the last drop of water that they're ever going to get. But I'm thinking that someday there's going to be somebody standing up and say, look, all ye that are athirst, come and drink to the waters of life freely. Woo, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that happening. I believe I'm going to be a part of it. I think I am. May be fooled, but if I am, it's me. But I'm looking forward to something taking place out here in the near future. And when I say the near future, it may be another 15 or 20 years. But what's 15 or 20 years besides Brother Smith and myself? Especially myself. I was on that. I had the opportunity this last week to be down by the lakeside and happened to see this you know, overweight old fella coming up the embankment. And he had 2 5-gallon buckets with him. And one looked like it was a little taller than the other one, you know, and he didn't carry these buckets up the embankment. He was using them buckets to get up the embankment. He'd use, you know, he'd take hold of one, get up a little higher, and you set it up, and get hold of the other one, you know, move up a little bit and set it up further. And then on top of that, when he got to the top of the embankment, he set these buckets on a two-wheeler, you know, and then pulled them across the yard there and loaded them in his truck. I want you folks to know something. Back a few years ago, I'd have carried them buckets up that embankment. Wouldn't have had to use no two-wheeler. I wouldn't have done all that. I'm sure that it was a show and a half, you know, if somebody's been watching. I'm glad there wasn't any of you out there, because I know what y'all would have done. Y'all took pictures, and it had been on Facebook before I could have gotten back to the camera. Sister Watson sitting over there laughing. She was one of them. I seen her laughing. But God's got something in store for his people that's greater than what we have tonight. You know, and I'm looking forward to it, Brother Smith. I really am. I'm excited about it. And if my excitement bothers you, please don't allow that to happen. But just I want you to know that I really am excited about it. I'm thrilled that God has included me up to this point. You know, if I were to go home tonight and not come back until the funeral, you know, I'm not looking forward to that. But if that were the case, I want you to know that I've been excited all the way up till now. This has been good. I've enjoyed working on this. I've enjoyed being a part of, just being a part of what God's doing in the earth is a fantastic experience. Woo! Besides all the good stuff that you find out about God, when I first started serving the Lord, I didn't have a clue what I know now. I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand the Godhead. Didn't know anything about the water baptism. I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost baptism. You know, baptism of fire, didn't know nothing about that. Eternal judgments, didn't know nothing about that. And resurrections, didn't know anything about that. And the laying on of hands, didn't know anything about that. Didn't know anything about the order of God. Didn't know anything about the Godhead. Didn't have a clue about any of that. But tonight I stand before you knowing something about all those subjects that I talked about. Hallelujah. Thank God. And it's more exciting now than it was the day when I started. Hallelujah. There's good things ahead. Good things ahead. My mother coined a phrase with us back a few years before she passed away. My wife watched after her pretty close. And she kept telling her, said, you know, Mom would get out and she'd go do certain things. Give you one instance on what she'd done. She went to see her sister over in Alabama, which is a 5-hour trip minimum. And she went over there, and we knew when she left, her sister's over in Alabama. 4 hours later, she's in the house at home. And I said, Mom, I said, didn't you make that trip a little bit quick? Her reply was, well, if it hadn't been for some of them old funny duddies pulled out in front of me and slowing me down, I'd have been here sooner. I said, Mom, I said, them old funny duddies probably wasn't as old as you are. And it's a good thing they pulled out in front of you and slowed you down and you killed yourself as fast as you're driving. She said, well, that's all she said. Anyway, why, she'd do some things there around the house, you know, get out in the yard and do some things. And kind of get after her a little bit, you know, in a nice way. Miss McGowan said, don't you think that maybe you ought to consider, you know, slowing down a little bit? And considering, you know, your age, you're not quite as agile as you used to be. And her reply was, as I used to could. You know, I've gotten to the point here lately to where I'm using that more than I used to. I used to could. You know, I used to jump 5-foot fences and not think anything about it. Four and a half foot fence. But there was a little bit of incentive there. That top strand was generally a piece of barbed wire going across there. So I had a little incentive to make sure that I got over it. You know, when I left the ground, when you leave the ground in a barbed wire fence, you definitely want to go over. So, but, you know, all those things aside, we're still working to restore the church. God still wants a church among the Gentile people. He still wants a church among us, and we're the ones he's working with. Isn't that wonderful? We just got through singing the chorus, rejoice, you're a child of the King. Can you fathom for just a few minutes? Can you think about it? I am a child of the King. And this is not just any old king. This is not like, you know, the King of England or the King of France or, you know, the President of the United States or, you know, this is not one of them type of kings. This is the one that's the King of Kings. He's the one that's above every one of them. The most powerful, the most knowledgeable, the most understanding. And to think that we're his child. I kind of know so little about that. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of the great kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah.
A minute to tell everybody that how appreciative I am of all your prayers for Beth and myself, and I know you've been praying for our situation for a long time, and it really means a lot. It means a lot that I can come here and be around you people and praise God with y'all and learn. I've learned so much from Brother Smith, and I've met so many good people here. I could go around the room, but I'd accidentally miss somebody, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but everybody here is just such a wonderful person. And I've been gone a lot. I've been going between here, Alabama, and Texas, trying to take care of some stuff for Beth and myself. And just to update everybody, Beth's cancer at this point is in remission. But the bigger problem than that really is she's had several different types of chemo. And one of the types of chemo that she had has caused her to have dementia. And it's it won't turn back, and it will get progressively worse, they tell us. And so it's getting to the point. She's been with her sister in Austin, and there's some kind of complex reasons, insurance and health care and stuff, why we aren't together yet at this point. But the time's coming when I will probably have to move. We'll probably move to Alabama, and I'm not sure when. It's a little bit away down the road. But I'd ask you to continue your prayers, and there are some things that have to be worked out for her best and receiving the best health care she can have. And right now it's not possible for her to get that in Arkansas, and that's the reason we'll probably have to move to Alabama. It's a crazy thing, but insurance is crazy anymore, and health care is. But anyway, I'm rambling. I'm going down rabbit trails here. But I just want you to know I appreciate it, and I appreciate each one of you, and all that you mean to me, and thank you.
Johnson, we will be praying for you. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be a family, and that's what we want to be. I have a feeling in time it's going to be more and more that way. I want you, and Saints here, and Sister Watson's talk that she made, wasn't that encouraging? My God, we know there's a God that sits on a throne. He's our God. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He's our King. I appreciate God. I appreciate Him. And the songs and all the talks and the songs. Oh, I don't know where you keep getting these songs at, sister. But are they from the body or where are these songs from? Is that where they're from? I own every one of them. Okay, okay. Okay, okay. These are good songs, good words. I feel God in them. I mean, good songs. I sat up there thinking, my Lord, that woman is something else. But, you know, if you're getting them from the body, then, well, you know what? Brother Tucker used to tell us, he said, anything you can borrow from every direction, you can get it. Get it, borrow it, bring it home. You know, it belongs to us. God might have given it to someone over somewhere else, but it belongs to us. It's our song. It's our song. God give it to the ones He gave it to, because their mind was open. They yielded their mind over to God, and they belong to us. But the words that Brother Smith has been speaking, haven't you just absolutely enjoyed listening to Brother Smith? Brother Smith, I told him thank you 2 weekends ago for yielding his mind over to God and letting God use his mind. And Brother Smith was telling me, he said, Brother Paul, it's God. I can believe that, Brother Smith. I can believe it. Anything that's good comes from God. Anything that's the other way comes usually from us. But we got in that Bible study this morning. Wasn't that just absolutely great? I love it when people feel free. Brother Stewart back here, he felt free enough to voices of opinion. Brother Smith was telling me after the Bible study, Brother Paul, I'm not trying to convince people what I believe. I just want people to know where I stand, you know, and why I believe what I believe. I appreciate that attitude, too. He doesn't act like it bothers him for us to talk to him, to question him. Don't you love a minister like that, a leader? Can't you just follow a shepherd like that? You know, I don't know a whole bunch about shepherds, but from what a little bit I know, shepherds are usually gentle with their sheep. And that's what Jesus is with us. He's gentle with us. Thank God for that. I appreciate God being gentle with us, our Savior. You know, he tries to lead us and guide us in directions that'll be productive for us. We can appreciate our Savior for that. Anyway, I've just enjoyed this weekend service, that wonderful feeling that you can only feel that comes from God and comes from being around people that want to do right. That's a wonderful feeling. I know on my job, this week I was thinking, driving down the road, I was thinking how easy it is to stir up the spirit of men. And then I was watching myself. And if I'm not careful, I will get right in the middle of them. when they go by me and they're mad at me because I passed them, if I'm not careful, I'll get in the same spirit that they're in. And I know that I'm a child of the King. I have teaching and training that they more likely don't have. And that's why we're supposed to be on different paths. And there was something I did this week that I went up in the New England states. I had a delivery to make in Rhode Island. And when I went into Rhode Island, I went right through Jamestown. I'm sure some of you folks have studied that in history, you know, about Jamestown. I seen a sign that said established in 1676. That was 100 years before we received our independence. And I went on up to where I was supposed to be making my delivery. But I was thinking about that as I was driving. And I found my spot. And there was nobody there. So I just parked for the night. And there was a church right beside where I parked. And there was a cemetery behind it. And I love going into cemeteries and looking at those dates on those tombstones. I like looking to see what those dates are. And trying to imagine what those people did when they were here. Because the only thing that represents their existence now, if there's no record down at the courthouse, is that stone that's sitting right there by the foot of where they were laid to rest. And so I made my way over there, and I was going through there trying to find as old the dates as I could. The oldest ones I found have been in Boston so far. Well, besides there. And there was an old man there that was a caretaker. And he and I got to talking about the history of that area. And he was telling me that church house was built way back, he thought in 1700. And he thought George Washington might have even been in there and made speeches. And he and I got to talking about what we do while we're here. And if we're not careful, we get to thinking we're somebody. And we'll get to thinking that what we believe and what we stand for is the ultimate. And we'll actually get in fights over it. When in all reality, once we're gone and we've been gone 100 years, who really cares, you know? Nobody does. Well, we found a tomb, a grave marker, and it said the man was 81 years old when he died, and he was built in he was buried in 1809. So you figure that up. When was he born? Way back in 17. If he's 100 years old, it'd be 1709. But he was 81. It'd be 1729. 1728 is when he was born. Way back before we ever even got our independence, we were still under British rule. We were standing there. This man and I were standing there looking at that marker, and we got to. And that the math, he'd been in the ground, 214 years, something like that? Something 216, something like that? Yeah. Yeah, long time. Well, two generations of people have already been born and lived to be old. Well, actually more than that. And they're gone. And we said, well, you know, he and I were just talking, and I asked him, I said, what do you reckon that man would have said if you'd have told him that 200 and something years, way down here in 2014, there would be two men standing there looking at his grave marker, talking about him? You know, probably wouldn't have cared. Who knows? He might have thought, well, that'd be in space age. Well, he wasn't even thinking about cars back then. You know, how could, you know, horseless buggies, you know, is what they would call these things we're running around in now. But, and when he was talking, you know, that man, whatever battles he fought, whatever pressures he felt, all the people that was putting pressure on him to do whatever they thought was important, they're all gone. And we was talking about, it is so silly for us to even fight with one another when the day's going to come, we're going to be gone. And I didn't tell him, but we didn't get to talk long enough, actually. But I would have shared with him, you know, really only what we do for God is really all that matters. That is all that matters. I mean, we could be millionaires, live in big old houses up on the hill, drive the finest car, wear the finest clothes, and does it really matter? Does it really matter? It don't matter. It don't matter. What we do for God is really all that matters. My brother McGowan was talking about a while ago. He's involved in something right here that will matter. And Brother Smith has told us, explained resurrection to us to the point that it don't even matter. I mean, when we leave this world, if we lay in the ground for 200 years, so we're coming back. You know, we'll see each other. We'll be harassing each other again. You know, it's going to happen. You know, don't you just thank God for the truth? Now, I don't know if that man's going to come out of the ground or not. And there were markers out there that you couldn't even read the markers. That, as a matter of fact, there had been markers out there that was a misplaced. The man was showing them to me. He said, well, I don't even know where these markers go. Well, there you go. It don't even matter. It don't even matter. But serving God. Matter of fact, I know I say this every time I get up here and talk. Brother Smith told us we need to get new stuff, you know, to feed the sheep with. But King David was talked about. God talked about King David for generations after he was gone in a positive way. Now, Manasseh was the worst king Judah ever had. God talked about him for generations after he was gone. And it wasn't in a positive light. God remembers us. God remembers us. But he's our friend. If Manasseh had had the same attitude David had, then God would have talked about him in a positive way too. God is our friend. And I didn't get up here to paint a picture of you know, one day we're not going to be here. Sure enough, we're not. But we're working on a house. Brother Smith was talking about that today. We're working on God's house. Jesus had a house in which he was the owner. That house belonged to him, and we're part of that house. I'm telling you, it's great to know the truth. It's absolutely wonderful. What is that scripture Bible? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Am I quoting that right? We can be free. There was another thing that happened to me this week. You know, all this stuff gets you to thinking. I was coming through Indiana, and there was a traffic jam ahead of me, 20 miles long. I went around it. Come to find out, this poor man, and they don't know what happened to him yet. He was in an RV, and he ran right up in behind a big truck. They said it killed him. Well, the point I'm making with telling that story is, if he was living for God, it don't matter. And I know I'm laughing about it, but it's the truth. It doesn't matter. But yet, on the other hand, if we're not living for God, it matters. Oh, it matters. Aren't you glad we're part of that house? Part of that Brother McGowan was talking about, Brother Smith was talking about today, He was talking about Moses. You know, he was just a servant. God talked about him for generations after he was gone. He was just a servant. That's what he was. That's what we are. But we're working for the Most High God, the greatest King, King of Kings. That's what we're working for. I'm telling you, I feel good to be a part of this house. I feel good to be a part of it. God is good. He's our best friend.
I wish I had, because so many people get up in front of you that do so much better. And all the good talks that we've heard tonight, it's like, how can you top it? And I can't, so I'm not even going to try. But I look back in time, and I believe that we use the statement that, give people roses while they live instead of waiting until they die or waiting until they're gone to give them compliments or all the things that nice things we'd say about them at their funeral or whatever. And I was just thinking back over the years. I don't want to single any one person out, but I'm fixing to. I think back over the years when we first saw Ron Johnson walk through those doors, and I don't know about y'all, but I had a hard time figuring him out. I mean, I looked at him, and I still have a hard time figuring him out. But even watching him over the years, and watching the dedication that he's had, and hearing a little bit about his background, and then knowing what he, what an educated man he is, and what a fine person he is, as I've gotten to know him over the years, I wonder, what's he doing hanging out with me? But I'm appreciative of that, and I thank God, in this walk that we're in, that sometimes that just knowing that there's people, whether you interact with these people like this every day, that God puts in our path, that just knowing that they're out there, knowing that we've got brothers and sisters around the world, around the United States, around the city, wherever they might be, that make it worthwhile. And a lot of times when I'm feeling discouraged and I'm ready to just pack it in, as I'm sure we all do from time to time, that I think about, what if? What if I was to pack it in? I'm not just doing this for myself. I've got a brother in Nashville. I've got a brother in Louisville. I've got a brother in the Dominican Republic. I've got a brother in Yugoslavia. I've got brothers all over this world that they might not hear about it immediately, but eventually they would hear, Brett quit. Why? And if nothing else, that would affect his walk. So a lot, when I think about it, a lot of times when I would, when I would quit, just knowing that I've got this network, and then other times, when I know other people could have quit and didn't, it keeps me going on. And I'm appreciative for that. I'm appreciative for my brothers and sisters that have gone on before us. And, I've talked about, I've walked through this church, many times, and when it's empty, we'll be up here cleaning or something like that. And I'll remember the people that sat in these pews and that are gone now. And I remember where, Brother House, Brother Stockstill sat right over there, and Sister Tony and Sister Wilkins sat right down there, and Sister Slazier sat right down there, and Sister Dodge sat right there. Brother and Sister Foster sat right there. Who? Sister Kinsinger sat right over there. Sister Goodson sat right over there. And you could always count on, as if Sister Goodson got up and talked for 10 minutes, that Sister Kinsinger would get up and talk for 12. Or if Sister Goodson got up and talked for 12, Sister Kinsinger would get up and talk for 15. You always you knew that. And I think back over the years, and I know that they did a study here some time ago that was, they interviewed, I can't remember the number, 10,000, whatever it was, but they did a survey, what were people's greatest fears? And, you know, you'd think the fear of dying, the fear of heights, the fear of snakes or spiders or whatever, but the number one fear that everybody had in this survey was the fear of not mattering. And being remembered when you're gone. When I think about it, what Brother Paul was saying about the old cemeteries, that's one of my favorite places to go. And for something about a cemetery is, a lot of people find them scary or spooky, but I've always kind of found a peace there, because these people are wanting to be remembered so bad. They will spend all this money on mausoleums, and if nothing but a little marker in the ground is, how much? A couple hundred, 300, 400 bucks. Imagine a mausoleum made out of marble and this, thousands and maybe tens of thousands of dollars just to be remembered. So why would I be afraid to be in a cemetery? Those people, if anybody in there, they're not going to wish me harm. They're glad I'm there. I'm looking at their monuments. But I think back on, I think on that, and I think of how we need to be appreciated, and how that I want y'all to know that I appreciate y'all. I mean, I appreciate you when you're here, and I'll appreciate you when you're gone. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget the people that have gone before me. I'll never forget when Sister Wilkins was laying in the hospital, and I went up there and saw her, and one of the last things she said was, as a matter of fact, I was leaving, and I was just making small talk and trying to find a smooth way out of there without making a scene or anything, and she looks at me and says, "I'll see you on the other side." And I was on my way out the door, and I stopped and looked back. I said, "So what do you mean you'll see me on the other side?" She goes, "But we won't be brothers and sisters over there." I was like, "Now you got my interest. Well, now what do you mean?" And she goes, "Over there we'll be as one." And I think that's the last thing I ever heard her say. I got the word the next day that she had died. When I think back on that, I don't want to forget those kind of things. I want to carry, if I want to remember, and I want, of course, I want to be remembered. There's a book out. It's actually a movie called Big Fish, and it says as long as a man's stories are remembered, he'll be immortal. And I think about that, and I want to be remembered, but I want to be remembered for the right things. I want to be remembered for the sacrifices that I was willing to make. As I remember the people that have gone before me, when I see, when I think of my grandfather, when I think of Brother Liniger, and I think of the people that worked, when I think of Sister Tucker, I think of selfless people, and I don't remember anything about those people, but what they did for their fellow man and what they did for God, the sacrifices they were willing to make, that's how I want to be remembered. And I appreciate my brothers and sisters here tonight. Like Brother Ron said, I could go through here and, every one of you, and tell you something that I appreciate about you. And I could. And I mean, from the smallest, and from, Nethaniah and Eshon over there to the oldest. My mom. No, she's not. But I am appreciative to be here tonight, and I give God the praise.
Well, after such an inspiring song, sir, I kind of find it hard to sit there and not do anything. I mean, anything else, I want to say, I want to rejoice. I'm thankful I'm a child of the King. But what more can you want for just rejoice and say, thank you? And I couldn't, sitting there, God was dealing me in my seat, saying, why don't I stand up? Why don't I say something? Why don't I rejoice? And I want to say, I want to rejoice that I'm thankful I'm a child of the King. I want to say, I'm thankful for that rule of blood flowing through my vein. What more could I ask for? What more could this world give me? Nothing more. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to give and say, I'm thankful and I want to rejoice. I'm thankful for all that God has done for me, for the family He has given me, all the blessings He's bestowed on my life, all the friends He's given me, all this wonderful church He's put over my head where I can exercise my right to say, I'm thankful and to rejoice. What more could a man ask for? What more could a person ask for in this world? It's right here. And I'm thankful for it. I want to rejoice. I want to rejoice. It's how I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I'm here, that I'm a child of the King. Rejoice. Raise your hands. I'm thankful. I am thankful. What more can we ask for? What more can this world offer us? There's nothing more this world can offer us. Nothing. It's all right here. What I want is right here. Sometimes when I'm... You know, the road is not always smooth. It's not always a nice long highway. It can be a bumpy trail, a bumpy goat path. And it's not always where you want, how you think it should go. And you're thinking, why am I here? Why am I up going up and down these bumpy trails? But you start thinking, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is my. This is why I'm here. It's not always, as, no, I've said it before, and a bunny's hopping over the pass and... deers running down the trail. No, sometimes it's dark clouds over you. Sometimes it's storms rising up above you. But you know what? That's where He wants us. That's where He wants us, right there. And you got to think, especially when you're going in this world and you're thinking, why am I here? Why am I still serving? Because I don't care. I mean, everybody questions if this is where they're supposed to be. Everybody questions, is this their calling? And then you start meditating and start thinking, God, is this really my calling? And He'll put something in your life, something in your way, and say, this is your calling. This is where I want you to be. And all I can think right then is, that's my Jesus. That's my Savior, don't you know? The man from Galilee. He will set your spirit free. He will fill your cup up to the brim. That's Him. That's Him. And no, I'm thankful for that. That's Him. That's my Savior. That's our Savior. That's my Jesus. That's not somebody else's Jesus. That's my Jesus. That's my Savior. And He will fill my cup up to the brim. Whenever I'm in need, whenever that road gets too bumpy, that road gets rocky, He'll fill my cup up to the brim. But you know what? If I want Him to do that, I got to turn my cup upright where He can fill it. Where I, like that song this morning, you got to reach up so He can reach down for you. You know, I don't want to be there, that person with my hands in my lap saying, why won't God do anything for me? Why don't you do something for God? Why don't you raise your hands and pull on His heartstrings so He can pick you up out of that clay? Raise up your hands and say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful and I'm rejoicing. You know, if anything else, that's all I wanted to say tonight, just to rejoice. Just to rejoice. Lift up His name and praise and rejoice and say, I'm a child of the King. I'm thankful and this is where I'm supposed to be.
Praise the Lord. Well, I know it might kind of look kind of scary when a preacher gets up at 7 o'clock on Sunday night with a Bible in his hand, but I'm not planning on preaching. But I'm just thinking about, you know, we're a people that's looking for more of God out here, and of course to take us to this place, Brother Paul and Sister Holly was playing about peace in the valley when God wraps this all up. But it's like Brother Zach was telling us, it's not, you know, God's working even right now. He always has. He's always been working on his plan. And we're not just to sit here and wait on the restored church. I know one thing. When the restored church get here, we're going to be thankful for everyone that labored in the restoration and that held on to God. And for all what God did. And I know he's working right now. This is not the most exciting time we've had in the body, but it's still a good time. It could sure be worse, I can tell you that. For the most part, we're blessed. We're blessed people. If you don't think you're blessed, well, go with me on my next trip to the Dominican Republic and see how some of those saints live from day to day, just hoping that they can get enough food to feed their children. And I told you one time I was in Haiti and staying in Brother Lionel Joseph's home, and I noticed that day two or three women would come up out to the gate. They all have their houses fenced over there because of when you live somewhere where people are starving to death, you better have your place fenced, because when people get hungry, they'll go to about any lengths to do about anything to get something to eat. And I noticed he'd go outside, there'd be a woman walking back and forth in front of the fence, and he'd go out there and talk to her a little bit, and he'd come back in. And after about the third woman, later in that afternoon, I said, "Brother Joseph, what do these women keep coming up, walking out there outside your fence?" He said, "Well, Brother Smith, those are sisters from my church." And he said, "They're hungry. They don't have anything to feed their children." And I said, "Well, I didn't see you give any of them anything." And he said, "Well, I don't give them anything if I ask them how long it's been since their children's had anything to eat. And if it's been 3 days or longer, I give them something. But if it's been less than 3 days, I can't afford to give them anything any more often than that. We don't have the money to help them with. We don't have the wherewithal to do that. So I've had to set some kind of regulatory way to handle it." And so he said, I thought, "God, I'd hate to be a pastor and have to tell some of my saints, go on another day and have your kids go another 2 days before you come back for food or for something to feed them." So we're a blessed people here in America. God's blessed this nation. The people that live, the homeless people in this country are richer than people in some of these third world countries. They've got, most of them don't go hungry. There's food houses for most of them somewhere. But I was just thinking about God. I was just looking at my Bible, at the different books in the Bible, and thinking about what all God's done. I thought, in the book of Genesis, he was the creator. And he rose up a righteous line and made a covenant with a man by the name of Abraham. And in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, He was the lawgiver of his righteous character and a builder of a tabernacle to show forth the righteousness of God and a deliverer of the children of Israel after 430 years in slavery and captivity. And in Joshua, he was the giver of the promised land. He was the one that gave them victory and a home forevermore. And in Judges, he gave men and even a woman or two to help hold them to the righteousness that they learned in the days of the wilderness. And in Ruth, he brought back a harvest after a great famine to show a people 2,000 years later a restoration of the church. And then in the books of Samuel, he was among a great prophet that helped him to show the difference to mankind between a king that people wanted and a king that was after God's own heart, that was a man that had a heart like Jesus Christ and showed a type of Christ in his forecoming. In Kings, he divided the kingdom because men couldn't live at peace together. But he worked with that whole kingdom and let it go on and let man fall in his misunderstanding of the things of God. And he many times reached back in to hold a kingdom to the place that he called them to, and to so that he could prepare a way to send his son to this world through a people that he had chosen. And then the Chronicles, the events of those kings was recorded. And in Ezra and Nehemiah, again, he had to hold his people or put them in captivity in Babylon, he still rose up two men, to go back and build again the temple of God that had been torn down. All of these are acts of God. All these are things that God did, preparing a people for a coming Savior and for God's plan. Brother Weiniger was talking to me in Bible study. We're fixing to talk a little bit more about the rest of God, the enter into his rest. Well, God created everything in 7 days and then he rested. He finished his work. His work's a finished work from the beginning. And we're going to have to, at some point, enter into God's finished work. He planned it out from the beginning and he finished it. It's a finished work. When we got here on this earth, God's work, it's got to play itself out. But we can get as far as God will allow us in our day to be prepared to be a part of God's finished work. I'm like Brother McGowan. I want to be there. I want to be there when it's available for me to enter into that. In Esther, he preserved his people and saved them from being annihilated by a simple, humble little girl. God can use you in the same way that he used Esther. This body has to be a people that, what was it that Esther's uncle Mordecai said to her? How do you know that God didn't prepare you for this very day and this very thing? How do you know that God didn't call you to keep the kingdom of heaven alive in the earth and to keep it from being annihilated and done away with. I've had people tell me just in the time that I've been here that this body's going to go to nothing. It won't amount to nothing. Oh, I got news for you. There's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that's chose a little woman in the earth that it's her calling to preserve the very purpose of God in the earth and keep it from fading off of the scene. In the book of Job, God took one man. He gave special interest to one man to prove that a man could have enough God in him in this earth that nothing could shake him loose and cause him to turn away from God. That God put that much interest in a man and get that man ready for something so much better that was coming in the future, and rewarded him with that and doubled, gave him double for everything that he lost. And God's working with him personally. In the book of Psalms, primarily and generally, it's a conversation with a Father, God, and his Son, Jesus. And a Son, Jesus, conversing back with his Father, God. Wonderful, wonderful poetry of a conversation. Back and forth from God to Jesus and Jesus to God. And in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, what tremendous wisdom of God that's hidden, proverbial, in a proverbial way that man has to stop and think and meditate to get the real meaning of what God wants to reveal and give his knowledge, understanding, and wisdom to his called. And then in the book of Isaiah, over and over telling of the coming Messiah. Over and over revealing that there's one to come. And even stretches out to this peace in the valley. Even the finality of God down through the 1,000 years. Touching in and just giving a little bit on that. The rest of the large prophets, I'll just kind of sum it up. That they kept leading, judging, and bringing the fear of God into the children of Israel to keep them on track and to keep them looking for what God was doing and this Messiah that was to come. And then the little prophets just reassuring and giving and foretelling of the things that would come to pass in the near future and in the distant future. And finally, in the last little prophet, Malachi, telling of the forerunner that would go before this coming Messiah to close a book of the Old Testament age. And leave the promise of a coming king to the children of Israel. And then in the Gospels, here came Jesus. Hallelujah. The Word of God made flesh in the earth. And to see him in action, just a young man from... He came in not after being birthed. We don't know much about him until he was around 12 years old. But at that age, he confounded theologians in the temple. And soon after that, we see him as 30 years old, taking the charge and the banner of his Father to do the work that God sent him and called him to do. Hallelujah. Never failed. Never sinned one time. He obeyed God. Always done his Father's pleasure. What a God. What a Savior. Hallelujah. And he died and rose again and came back in the book of Acts. You see him in the lives of the 123,000 and 5,000 and others, multitudes coming in those days. The kingdom of heaven was flourishing. It was bright and shiny, a light, a bright light. The day of the Lord had come. And you see the church in the book of Acts in its action, full of the Spirit of God. Saviors, the Bible said, shall rise up on thee, Mount Zion. My God. The Lord wasn't slack with His promise of coming. He did come. He manifested Himself in the earth and revealed Himself for over a 45-year period of time. And man and woman, children, grew in the Lord and moved into a place of perfection, place of God's rest, ceased from their labors, and people made the bride. Hallelujah. People found that place that passed back through the two cherubims and the flaming sword that turned in every direction, and eat of the tree of life and live. Praise God. And then in the letter to the Romans, right after the action record of the church, of the Jewish church, and God adding some Gentiles in, a letter to the Romans. Can you believe the ones that sentenced Jesus to death? The Gentiles that were so ungodly and cruel and so fierce and without fear of God. And God sends them a letter of His saving power and how He wants to save the Gentiles. And He sends a man, an apostle, Saul of Tarsus, the apostle Paul. And he begins to go to the land of the Gentiles and carry this message. Planted it so deep. First in the letters that he wrote to the Corinthians. A church, a bunch of Gentiles full of a lot of flesh. A lot of problems. But God was there. God was with them. God was sharing and giving them all of this that they could house, all of it that they could receive. And then the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, that they were almost persuaded to turn into Judaism. But he wrote them a letter to help them remember, Brother Daniels, that you started out in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That the Spirit of God is what brought you into this. And there's no law, rule, or regulation that'll be able to do more for you than the Spirit of God that brought you in it. And then, of course, the book of Ephesians is our little cardinal letter down here that we hold on so dear. To know that what we're looking for to be restored, one body, one faith, one Lord, one God, one Spirit. Hallelujah. To have that kind of vision, for God to give us those precious truths to understand what it is that's being restored. The letter to the Philippians, to know that there is a place of perfection that's worth giving up everything for. And the letter to the Colossians, again, to keep them from giving in to traditional Jewish religion and not or be swayed away from the revelation of life entering into Jesus Christ. My God. Paul's letters to the Thessalonians and and the letters that he wrote to Timothy to help him carry on the work while he was in prison, and Titus, Philemon, and then this letter to the Hebrews that we're working on in Bible study to remind them why they have a vision of the Messiah and that he is their Messiah and what he will do for them, carrying them on into perfection and a place that's beyond what carnality can afford. My God, these are wonderful works of God, and he's not only let us in on it, we're in on it in God's time frame for us. James writes the 12 tribes down in the very end of the harvest of that world to encourage them and help them hold on and endure to the end, their last days. And Peter and John carry on the work of Paul, sending letters to the churches of the Gentiles to help them to maintain and hold on to what God has given them. And then Jude, just a little short letter, just a paragraph to encourage us down here to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh God, we're working on something that's worth working on.
Yes.
And then the book of Revelation, that started out with a sealed up book, that God began to take the seals off of the book and reveal what was ahead for the Gentiles and a restored church down here, ending it up with a kingdom of eternal life. Hallelujah. Where God himself will come down and be our God, and we'll be his people. There'll be no more sorrow, no sickness, there'll be no crying, hallelujah, no tears in that world. My God, I'm getting excited. I'm wanting to preach a little bit. I've talked myself into preaching. I just sitting back there thinking about all the different books in the Bible, and I thought, I'd like to say something about each one of them. Well, I don't know how I did, but I just kind of looked at it, went down through there and said something about each one. But, oh, I'm thankful today for God's goodness. And we're working on something that's precious. It may not be, you know, how do you think David felt on the backside of the desert taking care of his daddy's sheep? And Samuel had anointed him to be king over Israel. Do you ever think he ever doubted it? Do you ever think he ever thought, God, how's this ever going to work out? I'm just a little old guy. Look at these sheep, you know. But he did have to think. He had to think about what he felt and what Samuel had to say, and when that oil went down on his head. And no telling what God did to him to bear witness that there was a truth to it. Besides, every once in a while I had to think about killing a lion, a bear, with his own bare hands. I don't care if he had a sling or whatever it was. I mean, y'all want to fight a bear or a lion. You know, how'd you like to be out somewhere on the backside of the desert, a hill country somewhere, taking care of your daddy's sheep, and here comes a big old bear? And it's up to you to make sure he don't get the sheep. Don't you know he remembered when the Spirit of God came on him and he was able to find the victory over the enemy, that he was taking care of the sheep of God, his father's sheep. It gave him enough faith that when he took just the little sandwiches down to his brothers, when Goliath and the Philistines were holding all of Israel at bay and in fear of being completely defeated, and David had enough something in him, the Spirit of God rose up in him, and he said, who is this guy? What is wrong with y'all?
Don't you know there's a God in heaven? Don't you know there's a God that loves His people Israel? This is what the world's all about. It's what God called His people for. He said, I'll fight him. I can kill a bear. I've killed a lion. I'm not scared of a 9-foot giant. You know, Saul said, well, take my armor. You know, take the king's armor. Do what you can do. He put it all on. It sounded good at first. But he said, man, I don't know how to work in this. But I know if that same spirit that came on me when I fought the bear, if that'll help me, I know I can make it. And he took all that off. And he went out just with his little sling. Passed a little brook, gathered him up some little smooth stones. And he said, and this big giant said, who is this little guy? What are you sending out here, a dog, to fight me? David looked up at him and he said, you come against me with a sword and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. Praise God. And it just took one little rock in his sling. Woo! The Spirit of God rose up in him. Something happened. He began, I don't care where he turned it loose, it would have went the same way. It hit that giant right between the eyes where it hit him. No matter what David done. Because something besides David had a hold of that sling and the little rock that was inside it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory, saints of God, there's a God that's called you for where you're at and the vision that you have. Who knows that you're not part of the very reasons and the ones that's going to preserve the body of Christ in the days of restoration that you're living in. One of these days you'll say, well, I remember when you could have any seat in the house. One of these days you'll say, there ain't a place in here to sit. And I remember. Oh, those were the days. Those were the days, some of them we struggled. Sometimes, you know, people were they faltered. People, you know, different things took place in people's minds. People got discouraged. Things happened. We struggled through. But God was with us. And finally it came the day, just like it did back in the early church, when God said, all right, it's time. It's time. Jesus, it's time for you to go back. It's the restoration's close enough. It's time for you to do that final work. And the day of the Lord. I was thinking about that this morning. I encouraged myself this morning thinking about that rooster crowing before daylight. Thank God for the men of God that's had a vision that knows there's a day of the Lord coming. There's a day coming up. There's something fixing to happen out here. The Lord's coming. But if He doesn't come in my lifetime, it's all right with me. If I die before, as long as I stay on the job and I can see God working today, He's doing something today. All the way from Genesis, all the way down. He's been a God to His people. He's healed the sick. He's worked miracles. He's encouraged. He's had men of God to help people stay on the job. Hallelujah. He's encouraged. He's kept us here. I appreciated what Brother Zach had to say. What more can you ask for? For today, you're God's child. God's called you. You're blessed among all people of the earth. Go home encouraged. Lift your head up. You're a child of the King. Hallelujah. Praise God. Bless His holy name. All right, let's give Him a praise before we go home. Wednesday night, prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, church at 7:30, and men's meeting 8:30 Saturday morning in the dining room, and Sunday we'll have a meeting after dinner for the department heads and workers for the youth meeting that's coming up in July. Brother Painter. Friday night, 7 o'clock. All right. Anybody that wants to go. Pinnacle Mountain at 7 o'clock, a little sunset hike. Yes. All right. All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Sister Holly will get that job so she won't be hindered in church. Also, I wish you'd pray for my mother. You know, we thought Mother was going to die, I don't know how many times. She's got more than a cat's nine lives, evidently. But she's been on hospice now for about a year or longer. I don't know how long. It's been a long time, maybe longer than that. I know it's been that long. But they're going to cut back on hospice if you're not really, you know, have enough wrong with you. It's not anymore. Hospice is not for just your last dying days. Now they've got hospice that'll help take care of you if you are in a dying situation, even if it's not terminal, you know, immediately terminal. But they've let us know that in 2 months they're going to do an evaluation on her, and if she hadn't changed any, they're going to have to drop her. Well, this gives an aide to come in every day, Monday through Friday, to help, and they just there for an hour. They, you know, they bathe her and they change her and they check her, and a nurse comes once, at least once a week, and checks her, and then once a month she can go to the hospice care center in Bryant for 5 days, and it's a small center. It's where Sister Elsie went her last few days, but it gives my wife a break for 5 days. Well, it's going to be up right before our youth meeting. I wish y'all would pray that she would get approved for it the next time that she needs to be approved. Really helps my wife to have once a month she gets a 5-day break. We put her in there, we can go see her and all, but she doesn't remember it. She don't remember going. She don't remember coming back. They can bring her back, and I can go in the bedroom 30 minutes after she gets home, and she said, "Where you been?" I said, "Well, I've been around. Thought I'd come in to see you." She said, "Well, I just wondered where you been." I went to see her the other day. She was at hospice, and she said, she'd just been in there one day. I went in that night, and she said, "When do you think they're going to let me out of here?" She said, "I thought they'd let me go home today." She just got there. But she's almost become a pro at, you know, ad-libbing things she can't remember. My brother Kent called. Her birthday's next week. She'll be 93. And he called to tell her he was coming. And he was on, I had her on, had him on speakerphone. She was talking to him. And he said, "Well, Mom, next week's your birthday, isn't it?" She said, "Yeah, I guess it is." And he said, "Well, how old are you going to be?" She looked up at me and she said, "How old am I going to be?" I said, she said, "I guess I'm going to be 93. She first, what she said to put him on hold, she said, "Let me think about that." Then she looked at me and said, "I said, she's already put her order in for coconut cake." In just a minute, he was talking, and he said, "What are we going to have to eat?" She said, "Ah, they're probably going to have a little coconut cake. They know I like that." I never heard her say nothing about coconut cake in a long time. She just heard me say it. But she's getting pretty wise at how to cover up for her lack of memory. Anyway, if it be God's will to help us, at least to get us through the youth meeting, I'd sure like it if the Lord did that for my wife. Yes, they're on their way back home. When will they be back home? Next week. Yeah, they went to Dallas, then they went to San Antonio. Brother Fields, they've given him the Texarkana area. They've added that to his region. And so he has to go up to Texas on his in his travels on his job. But anyway, he had to go there last Friday, and then they went on to Dallas, and then they went on to San Antonio. And so pray for them that God will give them a safe trip that they'll get back. Somebody else, who else is gone out of town? I can't remember. Brother Mark and Ethan. Sister Ann and Brother Paul, they kind of got an auction ditch. In fact, he had to go back to work tonight, and she had to go take care of a customer that flew in from out of town, so they couldn't be here tonight. Yes. He's really in severe pain. He's got a place in his upper back between his shoulders that's just sharp pain, and it's kind of like, he needs something put back in place, but he's been to the chiropractors. They can't help him, and anyway, he's just really suffering with this thing. So keep praying for him, and God would touch him. All right, let's pray. Give God praise for this day. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. Lord, meet our needs here, these that are sick in their bodies and need your touch, oh, God. Those that are going through struggles right now, God, we ask you to help them. Watch over those that couldn't be here, Lord. God, we give you praise for your goodness. Oh, God, for your touch. Your hand on our lives. God, we give you praise. We're thankful. We're your children. We're your called. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to keep our focus on your purpose in our lives, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly.